Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody. Welcome to episode 258 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. It's been a while, but we're back for a special Christmas episode. I'm Trevor Anderson, sending you over to Jason Rugard and the other elves. They have a rundown for us.
All right, today we have the box office ace prediction game. We have 5 news items, 11 movie reviews, and 8 trailers to get to. So let's waste no time running that down, and let's get right into this game, talking about The Gambler, Into the Woods, and Unbroken.
It's not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
All right, let's just play this because I'm tired of losing all the time.
Losing because we're gambling too often, right? Oh, you like the segue? See that bridge I just built? It's not burning.
So $90 million for The Hobbit. I said 80. You said what?
83.
So that wasn't that bad.
The Hobbit opened strong. Little guy, hobbled along.
Yeah, but Night at the Museum kind of sucked.
I said 33.
Yeah, I said 30. So that did 17.3. Boo hoo hoo. But Annie, I said 15, it did 16.3. So I got 1.
I did 10 on that, and I was way off. Apparently, a lot of people were interested in seeing this reboot. I didn't think it had much of a chance, especially after being leaked online. But obviously, that demographic doesn't really watch pirated movies, and people went out and saw this. The multipliers in all these movies are going to be fantastic, too, as we have another 4-day weekend coming up, which is why The Gambler, Into the Woods, and Unbroken are all being released on Christmas Day.
Well, you don't think Into the Woods is going to be come in and just kind of sweep Annie and the like away?
I don't think so. I think there's enough things out there to really place a lot of audiences at. I mean, there's a drama, there's fantasy, there's musical, you know, there's feel-good drama. So there's a lot of things out there. I mean, Unbroken is positioning itself as a family film too, so that could threaten.
Yeah, but who are they fooling? Do you think Unbroken is a family movie?
I can't believe the Christmas box office movies are already here. And there is one notably absent from this list, and that is The Interview, which has been widely publicized.
I know. I'm going to say that does $0.
Yeah, exactly. Right. There's our perfect score. let's start off with The Gambler, because I think this is the biggest gamble of the weekend. Very dark, depressing film, the original, that is, written by James Toback, starring James Caan. This is the remake with Wahlberg, John Goodman, directed by Rupert Wyatt, who did the Apes movie. I don't really know why that sets him up to do this, but he is doing it.
He should.
And what initially looked like a good trailer has now just looked like a good trailer. They haven't really shown me anything other than that initial trailer here, but I don't think this has a great shot. This isn't a Wolf of Wall Street type performer. I mean, this is, I think, in the struggle.
Well, the TV spots and the other trailers don't look as good.
They really don't.
So,
right?
I don't know. Yeah, they don't. Yeah. So what do you think?
I think this does about 22 over the 5-day, or 4-day, excuse me.
Over the 4-day. I will say 15.
Okay. Into the Woods is the latest from the Disney Frozen kind of. I mean, Frozen really reignited this whole fantasy thing. I know the Maleficent and Oz are same in the ilk of this, but Into the Woods is getting a lot of positive feedback here, especially with Meryl Streep possibly garnering Oscar consideration. It's just crazy. But anyways, this is probably positioning itself to be a heavy hitter for the weekend. What are your thoughts on the 4-day on this one?
I mean, I would think that this would be kind of a big deal. Everyone seemed to have been liking these movies so much. I'm going to go ahead and say for the 4-day, 38?
Yeah, I'm going to go 40, so I'm going to smidgen above you on that. But
I was
going to
go 40, but I backed off.
I think this is the biggest of the openers. Yeah, don't be scared.
I was too scared.
And Unbroken, Angelina Jolie's directorial, not debut, but this is her big debut because the last film was.
You can call it her debut if you want to.
It was a minor film in the Land of Blood and Honey, but we'll let this it go. Is positioning itself, though, to be a strong contender, but I don't think this has the kind of buzz going for it that was hoped for, you know, when they were announcing this project and when the trailers released. I don't hear a lot of people talking about wanting to see this. I know, I think it might hit a certain audience, but then again, Saving Mr. Banks did very well last year. I didn't think that had much of a buzz going for that, so I could be proven wrong, and have been if you look at Box Office Ace.
Nonsense.
Yes. So where are you going on the 4-day?
I'm beating you, barely beating you. You know what? I'm going to say 24.
Okay, I'm going 27 on this one. So
you're a little higher. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm doing the Bob Barker pinko. Yep. All right. So if you haven't done so, once again, Box Office Ace, the year is winding down. Get over to boxofficeace.com and either join in this year or get with us in a week at the beginning of a new year and a new game, so we can erase all past debts. And can we just crown Joe winner now? Because, I mean, I'm just...
Oh, we're all screwed. Joe wins next year. Joe wins every year. You know, we're done.
No. We're not doing the back-to-back-to-back. We're not creating dynasties on Box Office Ace, okay? You hear it there, Joe? You hear that? We're getting you next year. I got a plan. I got Moneyball-type scenarios working here. So, anyways, let's move on to the news. Because Sony has been in the news quite a bit, and we talked about it a little bit. Interview release being pulled. And right now they say they have no plans for a video on demand or DVD release.
Well, they want to release it. So what they're hinting at is a theatrical release.
Right?
That's
because
the
all
hint
of a sudden,
at this point.
Now,
well, all of a sudden Hollywood is... Yeah, well, they were in a pinch. They had to do something. And, you know, I don't know that... Did they really have a choice? I don't know. I mean, the exhibitors, everyone was probably finicky at that moment, and they didn't really have a choice. But I bet with the Hollywood calling them out and everyone basically saying Sony is a bunch of pussies now, right? They're probably going to put it out in theaters.
And I know this has been covered ad nauseum at this point, so there's really nothing that we can sprinkle on it. I just want to point out, you know, I said this to you off air previously, was that we've parodied these people before, and other people of the ilk, you know, Saddam Hussein was parodied endlessly in Hot Shots 1 and 2, and we still, you know, saw the light of days of those released. So I do think that ultimately this does deserve to be seen, and this might be the highest grossing movie of next year at this point. I mean, this might be one of the most widely seen movies of all time.
Maybe, I don't know.
Point. I'm telling you.
You think people would run to the theater to see this? I don't know anymore.
I don't think so anymore, but I think ultimately through bootlegs, black market, in other countries that won't
and
give this theatrical releases,
yeah,
this will be seen very widely.
Well, I still don't know about that, because technically, you know, they've already leaked the final scene. Right, onto the internet, so everyone's seen that. By the time they release this, they may have already, it may be too late already for them to, for anyone to care anymore.
I'm so lonely. I'm just so hoping he's over there singing that right now.
Yeah, and again, that movie got pulled as well, right? When they tried to, you know, Alamo Drafthouse and a couple other people tried to plug that movie in the place of, we're talking about World America, or Team America.
Team America.
World Police, and Paramount wouldn't let them play that either. So I don't know if it's all Sony's fault for not putting the interview out, right? It seems like it was a collective bunch of weenies.
Yes, it's a bit scary precedent to set, nonetheless.
Exactly.
Speaking of Sony, they have made their first acquisition in the midst of all of this craziness. Robert Rodriguez is—it's amazing that anyone's buying anything from Rodriguez after the underperformance of Sin City and Machete Kills. But he's back, and he sold his first fantasy epic, which is going to be a retelling, a live-action retelling of Fire and Ice. If anyone remembers that animated film, which was banked on the Frank Frazetta picture.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's an
animated film.
But don't you think he's kind of this has been in the works, right?
For a long time.
I feel like his name's been tied to this already in the past. And he would be, seems like a good guy to take this. But doesn't it make sense, as he's got his own little world out there in Austin, and it would kind of be less of a risk if you let him take this, right? Because it doesn't seem like it would cost that much. Obviously, he's going to run the budget. He's going to do the special effects. He's going to kind of do everything himself.
Yeah, and I imagine this is in the vein of a 300 using green screens, things like that.
Yeah. Kind of reduce the risk there if you let him do it.
If he is actually going to be directing this, who knows? I mean, Rodriguez has been produced producer heavy. I mean, with The Predator and Conan and things like that. I mean, he's been attached to a lot of projects that never saw the light of day with him helming. I mean, he's been thrown his name around there for a long time.
How much money
do
you think he's made just not doing anything?
Producing, right?
Probably
exactly.
A lot, right?
Yeah. You guys do that. I mean, good idea. I'll write the draft. You guys do that. Because he did profit heavily off the Predators and things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was very in demand as a producer there for a while. More so than a director. Oh, well, you know what we are getting? Do you know what we're getting?
AIDS.
Oh, wow. Are you doing are you hooking up with heroin addicts and stalls at rodeos or what? Huh?
No, I'm hooking up with Mark Wahlberg. He'll do anything, including me.
Man. Yeah, apparently, yeah. You and Matthew McConaughey there. So you threw me off with that one. You realize? Wow, let's rewind there. no, but hey, you're getting this doors. Is what you're getting.
This is a serious show here, man. I don't we'll mess around.
Serious here. Shit.
Straight. Yeah, Transformers 5.
North Korea just tuned out.
That's
right.
what I said. Mark Wahlberg will do anything.
Yeah, he will. Yeah, sure. Oh, gee, my goodness. Yeah, so he's going to be back, though, for more Transformers, because apparently they lined him up for a couple of them. And I don't really remember a while ago when he said, well, I don't know if you remember this or not, but about 10 years ago, I remember reading an article when Four
he's
Brothers
gonna retire.
Kept saying, I'm retiring at 40. You really? You're now 45. You got six more Transformers lined up. Get out of here with that shit. Just like Brad Pitt retiring at 50. You know, it's like a rapper retiring. What does that mean? That you're not coming back to do a movie, but you'll do a cameo?
I don't need another Transformers movie, to be honest with you. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good, too. I didn't think he was a great addition to the last one.
The last one wasn't a great addition to anything.
The last one was a subtraction.
I just don't know what else you could do with it. Yeah, it's going to be robots, and that's it. I'm good.
No, bro, you got Dinobots. They took it to a whole other level.
Oh, Dinobots. That was the worst. That could have been awesome, but no.
Well, speaking of could have been awesome, Miami Vice was a near miss, the movie that was. Although I think it has such strong points in so many parts that I still give it a 4-star review. I'm one of the only people out there, but it is a near miss in terms of what it could have been. A lot of people look at Bad Boys 2 and say that really is like more Miami Vice than the Miami Vice movie.
Who does?
Guy you? Knows a couple people that do. My left shoulder guy does. My right shoulder guy says no. hello? Anybody out there?
Oh, boy.
But no, they are talking about rebooting this film franchise and trying to set up a possible franchise run at this, which sounds like a good idea. I mean, Miami Vice is my all-time favorite television show. I love the show. I love everything about it. And I wish that the last theatrical film they did had included a little bit of a more than a wink, but you know, a reference to it. They acted like it never existed. They were embarrassed by the television show, whereas this one I think will embrace that a little bit. But the problem I have now is that,
so you think we'll get a pet alligator is what you're saying?
Well, hey, we don't have to go that crazy. Named Elvis, of course. No, we don't have to go crazy. But I don't know any actors that I would really want to see in these roles. I thought it was nicely cast, really, the last time out. But
what about Mark
imagine.
Wahlberg? I hear he'll do anything.
Nah, he's got six Transformers to do. He's gonna be locked up. But I wouldn't mind Michael Bay taking a stab at this, to be honest.
I don't know. Do Bad Boys 3 for him. Why? Yeah. I mean, do that because someone else can do this. I don't see why not.
There's a reason that hasn't taken shape, but I just don't know who they would put in these roles. I mean, I think about something like that Point Break redo that they're doing right now. And it's cast so weakly that I've lost any interest in it even entertaining the notion that I might like it. And I have a feeling that Miami Vice will do the same way. And I don't want to see them go in the style of 22 Jump Street, which, you know, was great.
Yeah, you don't want to see the comedy stuff, you know. I mean, obviously Miami Vice, I mean, Chris Hemsworth, right? He's the only guy that's doing stuff. He's the only available person. Who else are you gonna put in there? Jai Courtney?
No one.
Jai Courtney's available.
Jai Courtney's in everything. Why is Jai Courtney in everything?
Him and Chris Hemsworth, they will collide at some point, but I don't know. Who else do you put in it, right? Those are the younger guys right now that would be around the correct age to put in this. I mean, you could put Tom
Christ,
Cruise.
I'll end up with Chris Pratt and Michael B. Jordan in this. I gotta be careful here. I gotta be careful.
Yeah, see what I mean?
Yeah, all right. Bad idea, guys. Let's go ahead and leave this in the 80s. But I know, I guarantee you, that Philip Michael Thomas still wants to work. But will somebody call Stubbs?
Did you just call him Stubbs?
Yeah, I like to call him Stubbs. When you've seen 197 episodes, you call these motherfuckers whatever you want, okay?
Yeah.
So let's move on to these reviews, because we got 11 movies to talk about on today's show.
Let's take the break real quick and get that over.
Oh, well, exactly. We got to do some things. We'll be back. Pay some bills.
Proud member of the LAMB Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Resurrection themes present in Pulp Fiction elevate the film above... I'm sorry, Pat, what is it? Well, Pat, as interesting as it is to hear you prattle on about Tarantino again, do you think maybe we should stop talking to ourselves? Well, can you think of an alternative? As a matter of fact, Pat, I can. What if we spoke with other bloggers about the world of film and film writing? We could work with the large association of movie blogs, the internet's premier film blog directory. Go on. And what better place for LAMB members to hang out but a pasture? We can call it the Film Pasture. Okay, so we'll work on the name. The Film Pasture, a new podcast from the large association of movie blogs, available in iTunes.
I don't think they ever worked on the name.
Now, are we pontificating about Pulp Fiction's theme still? Anyways.
Sure. I mean, just as much as, you know, the Transformers, I think that the city destruction scenes elevated that movie.
I think the amount of devastation and horror I never got over. I only pontificate when I'm by myself anyways. It's making you go blind, people in the room. What are we going to talk about on today's show? We got 11 movies? 11?
Yeah, some of them we'll go through quickly because they're ones you've already seen. And I just
and then
to let you know how wrong you were about them.
Oh, no, goodness. All no, right. Well, let me,
probably not.
Let's start off at the top here with top five because it is the most recent. It is playing in theaters now. It got a wider release this weekend, although it hasn't seemed to take off or catch traction outside of the major cities, the coastal cities it was playing in. But this is obviously, like we said with the trailer, Chris Rock's attempt at a Woody Allen-type comedy, although it seems he's playing more of a character like Martin Lawrence, a stand-up comic who had a string of successful movies but has battled alcoholism and drug abuse and now is trying to get it together but doesn't feel he can do his shtick anymore, sober. Really kind of a minor film, which is what it looked like by the trailer, to be fair. But at the same time, the writing is spot on a lot of parts. Chris Rock is always fun to watch. And this movie's good, but it's not Midnight in Paris good. It's not saying something that is just, you know.
But every Woody Allen movie is fairly minor, even, you know, the good ones of the past, whatever, 10 years, if you want to go back even that far. Even those ones are minor, so it kind of fits in. It seems like, well, I don't know.
It does.
See that, but it fits into that world, right?
I'd like to see Rock play in this world a little bit more and maybe even use this character or characters like it and do what Woody Allen has done, have people play the Chris Rock type. It'd be interesting. And the supporting cast in this is fantastic, including J.B. Smoove, who is great on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I love J.B. Smoove.
So do I. And I'm telling you, there's a final shot in this movie. I am too. I think he's highly underrated. Even when he's saying things that aren't necessarily funny,
he's funny.
Never over the top. He's funny, exactly.
He's always
funny.
Even
when he's offering umbrellas to somebody, it's funny. The final shot in this movie is a close up of his face with Rock in the background and him in the foreground. And I think it's a great shot. I think it's one of the best ending shots I've seen in a long time.
He's definitely. My favorite moment from Curb Your Enthusiasm is definitely him. I love when they switch the cell phones and Larry David's like, did I get a phone call? No. Did I get a phone call? No.
J.B. Smoove on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
They both totally fucked each other.
This was the shit, yeah. It was good stuff. But yeah, top five, I give 3 out of 4 stars. Minor but enjoyable film and definitely worth a watch. Now let's move on and talk about The Expendables 3, because you just saw this recently, and I was waiting since August to hear what you thought. What'd you think?
Well, it's finally out. I saw it. I think it's fucking wonderful. I think it's a 4-star film.
Is it not the best one out of the 3?
I'm not just saying that. I think it's one of the best action movies I've seen in a long time. Just a great movie, and really super, super, super smart. More than I ever thought. It's interesting to in the script way, in the way that just in the writing, in the story, in the themes. This is an action movie that has themes. And it kind of throws you a little bit for a loop because it has that whole opening sequence. So there's two big action sequences, right? Obviously the Wesley Snipes
right.
Heist or rescue. And then, of course, the when they run into Mel Gibson for the first time.
And but then that's and about these, it for a while.
That's but there's a reason for that, right? And they're really they're more of the same. You know, when you see them, they're very bad would be one way to describe it. I really hated that movie when I first started watching.
The first 10 minutes
I thought,
was awful. Let's be honest.
I was like, oh my god, this is horrible. What are they doing? Look at this. These guys are running around. This is like a kid playing with the G.I. Joes. This is ridiculous, right? But it's all done to a point, right? And the point is that these guys have a run-in where they realize that, as with every 80s action hero, he's just invincible, right? He just goes in guns blazing and blows everything up. And these guys run into a situation where they realize they come face to face with their mortality, right? And that's really what this movie's all about, is an 80s action movie hero. Sylvester Stallone, who woke up in the middle of this 80s movie and went, holy shit, I'm a mortal human being. I can die. You know, that's this whole fucking movie. And it is awesome. There's so many parts that I love about this movie. I love Mel Gibson as the bad guy. And he's just as caught up in the world as Stallone or any of these the older guys are. I love the idea of going and getting the younger guys. Mm-hmm. And they're different, right? They're tech based guys, and they do things differently than Stallone does. And they throw Mel Gibson's character for a loop a couple times because he's not expecting the new aged way. You know, I love the fight at the end where it's basically Mel Gibson is running like a Cold War fucking like troops, like it's like fighting like 1980s Russia. It's just everything about this is just absolutely ridiculously over the top, but it knows it, and it's super smart. Kelsey Grammer, I think, is I loved a lot of the comedy in this. I really loved his sob story that he gave Stallone.
About dying.
Yeah. That whole shit, I'm not gonna ruin
Which
it for
plays
anyone.
Into
but
the mortality.
I just love it. Yeah, and it's all a big joke in a way, but it's not. You know, it's real, but it isn't. Because even at the end of the movie, Terry Crews, obviously, you said this last time. Terry Crews gets hurt, but obviously at the end of the movie, he pulls through, right? So the whole idea of killing people or of killing the hero still to this day, even as we introduce new technology, new ways of the action heroes to fight and all these things, it's still in the end, at the end of the day, the hero still survives. He still wins the day. He still kills the bad guy, right? And it doesn't matter how he does it. And it's one of the things I love about the last fight as well is, you know, it's one of those, oh, throw your weapons down, let's fight. And then, you know, a couple punches into it, they're both like, hey, you know what? Fuck this shit. It's a great movie. If you love action movies, this is the movie that I was waiting for. And it makes me love the first and the second one as well.
Yeah, right. More. It elevated
so
the first
I was
two.
Just,
it,
yeah.
For me, it I shot it. The best. It literally has the best cinematography out of it. It's staged the best because at the end, that whole sequence is very well staged. And at 2 hours and 10 minutes, it's by far the longest, but feels the shortest, which is strange to me.
Yeah, it does.
I thought you would really like Antonio Banderas in this film.
I did as well. I did mention him. Yeah, you're right. He's freaking hilarious.
I think he damn near steals the show every scene he's in. You know, mm-hmm. He's really good in this. And I thought the sequence you're talking about with Kelsey Grammer, kind of that monologue about his mortality, I thought, here we go again. And then when it's turned on its ear, I thought it was
which
a
is
nice,
what happens
kinda,
in the whole movie, right? The whole
but
movie
I thought it was a nice
that.
Nod to it's how great. Bad that shit came off, like when Chris Hemsworth's little brother, Liam Hemsworth, was doing that in the second one, and in the first one, Mickey Rourke did that. You know, it was kind of like
oh,
playing
God,
off
with
that
the dog,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah, that was bad.
It was just kind of it was just a
it's
nice
it's so
moment
redeeming. It's ridiculous. Expendables 3.
There's so
great
many little
film.
Jokes though. Like I said, like
there's
Snipes
so much
on the train being a
yes.
fugitive and all that. I mean, that's just one of many. I mean, it's hundreds of them in there. It's just it's really a pleasure when you watch this and the kind of history you have with these guys. And not only Schwarzenegger yelling, I'm back or get to the chopper or any of that shit. It just it's fun to have these guys around. And then when you Ford is good in this movie. Harrison Ford's moments are nice in this movie. I thought everybody came to play and they really showed up in this one. Mm-hmm. And there's a nice montage halfway through. I know we're a little running over on this one, but there is a nice montage halfway through that show these guys really have no lives outside of what they're, you know, these older guys. When Stallone says, you know, go get a life, get a hobby. Although Statham's character, Charisma Carpenter, was the wife or the fiance in the first two who's been dropped in this one. But You know, you know what I'm talking about with Snipes at the hotel room, and the other guy's just drinking, and it's a nice moment that they didn't ever stop to do in the first two, and they had a moment in this movie. So, well done. I was really impressed with this third one. I'm glad you were too.
I really liked it. Yeah, it stuck with me.
All right, let's move on. 22 Jump Street, another sequel that I really, really liked. I mean, this was a 3.5-4-star comedy for me. What'd you think?
Yeah, it wasn't until I saw this. I really liked the first one as well, but it's not until I saw this that I realized what you didn't like about the first one, because this thing just fixes any kind of a problem you could have with the first one. This is a great flick as well. I think 4 stars for me. I really enjoyed this. The comedy, the action worked. You know, the little thing at the end of the, you know, 23 Jump Street, 24 Jump Street, all the stupid movies that they were doing, they had so much fun with this. And
that's what I thought, how much fun
they were
having.
There was just
so
much little things that, yeah, I love the 23 Jump Street across the street, you know, next we're going to be moving into that place. And all that little things
that
they
did. Even the tattoo, the red herring, tattoo, which is, you know, the in-joke for, you know, your MacGuffin and all that. It's hilarious. The clue, you know, that's an odd. And tell me that Kurt Russell's kid doesn't look strangely like Kurt Russell for a long time in this movie.
He looks weird, yeah.
It throws you off. You're like, what the fuck? Is that Kurt Russell or is that Goldie Hawn? I don't know who I'm looking at. But regardless, I thought so much shit worked in this. I mean, the twist with Ice Cube's character and Jonah Hill, I didn't see that coming at all. Did you see that coming?
No, I did when I but not
Not until it happened, though.
Not until it happened. And the minute it happens, and the timing the writing and the timing is just perfect. Because you don't really, but the minute you see him, and then you see Ice Cube character, and you're like, oh shit, oh no fucking way. And I love it when Channing Tatum's character finds out about it as well. Because that's what you were doing when you found out. Yes. You're like, oh my God. And then he was like, yeah, dude, and they high-fived each other. You're like, oh shit. And he runs around to say, yeah, this movie is just fucking hysterical.
Thinking about
it makes
it in my
you love
again.
These characters, and
yes,
it kind of sells you on the whole Men in Black thing that also came out. We didn't talk about, but the 22 Jump Street Men in Black possible crossover movie, it does really sell you on that. You know, it's like, yes, I could actually see that.
And they give both characters something to do in this movie. I mean, it wasn't a waste where one guy's doing this and one guy's doing that. I love the fact that Hill has a girlfriend in this, that he's doing the walk of shame, you know, back to the dorm room.
I love that.
Talking to the girls. It's hilarious.
Hi, Stacey.
Hey, Kathy. Yeah, exactly.
I just want to go home and lay in bed all day and watch Friends.
You're a girl. I love it. The whole thing was very well done. I mean, it really, to me, one of the rare comedy sequels that outdid the first one.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm glad you liked it, too. All right, we're on a roll here. So you saw If I Stay, which was the Chloe Moretz, I guess I don't want to say a tween film, but this is kind of in the vein of Ghost.
It is a tween film. It is very much a teenage girl film. Yeah, it really doesn't have much to do with a ghost. That stuff's there, but the movie's told in flashbacks. Basically, and it tells about her family and just her life and her dating this guy. And I gotta admit, I kind of liked it, even though it's very heavy-handed with the whole, you know, life is good.
So message. What differentiates this from something like on Lifetime? Is it the acting? Was it her?
The acting, cinematography. I mean, the look of it, you can tell, has had money. It's polished.
But story-wise, was there a nice twist anywhere in here?
No, there's no twist. It's very, very straightforward. It is, like I say, it's more cinematic than something you'd see on Lifetime.
Okay.
And that's really would be the big difference that I would say about this. Yeah, it's not anything big, but it is a book. And oddly, I was in Target the other day and I saw there's a sequel to this, which is like decades down the line or like a couple of years. I don't know. She's out of college. I was just reading the back of it and thinking, what the fuck kind of a sequel can you have to this? And it's just more of her life. So to just give you an idea of how unimportant the ghost aspect is to this, that's how unimportant it is, that the sequel has nothing to do with it. It's just more about her life. So it really is like she's kind of having this out of body experience, but she's remembering her parents and everything. And it's kind of, I don't know. It's very tragedy filled.
You recommend it though?
I would. Yeah. I mean, if you like what I just said, that kind of stuff. If Lifetime movies, you know, which they do to me every once in a while. I find that they're pretty good. So,
did you see The Fault in Our Stars?
I have not seen that. No.
I was wondering how it matched up, because I know that was a. I mean, people are talking about that for possible best picture, best screenplay awards. So.
Definitely no awards for this, I wouldn't imagine.
No, but I do like the main actress quite a bit. I think she's a very strong actress. And,
yeah, she was really good in it. I mean, I liked everyone in it, and the message was good. But like I say, it's a little bit, you know, you get the message. It's one thing to show someone the message, but then as well, you kind of get the feeling, oh, this is definitely meant for a younger audience, because they have characters tell the message as well, just in case you didn't get it, you know?
Yeah.
So you kind of feel, okay, I'm being fed a little bit now, yeah.
Well. The tweens don't have a very long attention span in between. All right. Avenging Force. Let me talk about this real quick. This is a movie from 1986. This is a great flick, directed by Sam Furstenberg, who Trevor and I interviewed some time ago.
He discussed
working on this. But this was a Menahem Golan and Yoram Globus film, Canon Pictures, Michael Dudikoff. This was the American Ninja Guys reteaming with Steve James, really the first Hard Target, Surviving the Game, whatever other one was in that genre. You know, there's a couple of them out there, where they hunt men for sport. This is about a rich group of businessmen and senators and kind of affluential people in New Orleans that hunt ex-Special Forces for sport. And Michael Dudikoff, the American Ninja, gets involved with these guys, takes them down. Now, I only bring this up because I got the Blu-ray recently, and it looks friggin' fantastic. They have recently released this. This never was given a proper DVD release. It's only on VHS up until now, but you can get this on Amazon, and I highly recommend it. It's never looked better. They have a great
You said
commentary.
Special features were good, too.
Yeah. Special features are good. They have a video interview with Sam Furstenberg and Michael Dudikoff where they recount working on this. They have a great running commentary and, of course, trailers and whatnot. There isn't a whole lot of special features because I don't think there's a whole lot of source material special features, but it never has looked better. And really a good, great, probably the best movie Dudikoff ever did, for sure, Furstenberg. And John P. Ryan, who was in Runaway Train, which I really liked and I talked about on the show a while back, and who's a staple with Delta Force 2 and a lot of these canon films, was really like the Sean Connery of canon films. He is fantastic in this as the head leader of the right-wing group.
And you're a big Dudikoff fan as well.
I love Dudikoff, my man. Yeah, I even watched that television show, Cobra, that he did for a long time. But yeah, I like my man Dudikoff big time.
Yeah, I like Dudikoff too.
He seems like a cool guy. Plus, who doesn't like him in Bachelor Party, right? Didn't he steal the show? Who'd have thought? I thought he was the star, not Tom Hanks. I never knew. All right, let's move on. Talk about Knights of Badassum. Badassdom?
Badass.
Like Automata. Badassdom. Automania.
Yeah. This is a low budget movie about a group of guys who have actually made a bunch of these. This really isn't the lowest budget one because this has real people in it, but about a bunch of guys who are live action role players, if you remember, Role Models.
Yeah,
Lark. You know what they did in that thing. Yeah, that Lark. That, God, you really remember.
And Lark's a real thing. That's how I know somebody that's into Lark. I'm not talking about me. Like,
No, there we go. We know
who was into the.
We know now.
Hey, my roommate just went to the Dickens Fair last.
We know Saturday, now. So. No, you don't have to tell us what you got at the Dickens Fair, but.
Yeah, Dickens cider.
Anyhow, they mistakenly conjure up an actual demon. A succubus, and it attacks them. And they have to fight.
Wait, hold on. What's a succubus?
A succubus.
Oh, I mean, is it a succubus? That has a different demon altogether. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a demon. You'll find that at the Dickens
Fair.
I want to get a hold of you, and it won't let you go.
That'll suck you best. Okay, I thought it was a whole different type of movie.
Great cast: Peter Dinklage, Summer Glau.
That is a good
cast. Who else is in this? Yeah, Steve Zahn's in this.
It's worth a watch.
I thought it was. It's streaming on Netflix right now. It does take a while to get started, but I liked it. I will admit, I did like it.
All right, what about this next one, The Giver? I kind of wanted to see this because I thought there is some talent behind
The Giver
it,
and the Taker.
It looked like it had an interesting premise to it, kind of a Pleasantville mixed with
this prison. One's so, you know, there are times, obviously these young adult movies are pretty straightforward, and there are times when that works and there are times when it doesn't, and this is a time when it doesn't. It's so straightforward. You're just waiting for it to happen. It's extremely boring. And you know, the message, I don't know what it is with these young adult things, but, let's, you know, we need to get away from the message, you know, life is good or whatever the fuck your message is for these young people. Don't give them one anymore, you know, let them run astray. Cause I don't know. It's kind of ruining these a little bit.
It's too much feeding. I did see the first 15 minutes of this movie. And it wasn't, it, like you said, it wasn't terrible, but it was very bland. And I thought, man, this is
the whole
Meryl Streep here and Bridges and whatnot. It's
Jeff
like, it
Bridges
just kind of,
is pretty boring. The movie's boring.
It's on
there's,
screen.
There's no twist. They give you the idea that there's a twist, but there isn't. I remember talk of, you know, the Taylor Swift cameo, which is funny when it happens because you're like, really? What was the fucking point of that? At least have her sing a song. You know, I don't know. What the hell? She plays the piano for a second. It's everything about this is a bit of a letdown. Let me just put it that way. I really don't understand how, if I was reading this, I would stop reading it.
Well, you know what's nice? I thought about what I saw was that they weren't doing, you know, you said it's too straightforward in a sense, but you have to say that a lot of the times these movies get bogged down in world building and it's too complicated, overly complicated, too much exposition.
This happens in this here as well.
I see.
There's all kinds of world. There's a whole bunch of shit. I mean, that's all this movie is, right? The Giver, Jeff Bridges is the Giver and this kid's the Taker. So already, you know, we've got, it's a little gay, but, you know, we get over that. Because the sucky best is next, but it's so straightforward, but it's all about the world. You know, they're building this world, and of course, it's you know, what was the Christian Bale movie with you know, what's the McFadden
Equilibrium?
Equilibrium. Thank you. That's basically what this is, without the cool
gun kata.
Yeah,
that does gun martial arts.
Without the awesome gun martial arts, or, you know, I don't know. That's what this essentially is. And so it's the world they live in, and the people are just numb. And the Giver is, which I don't know why they call him the Giver, but he's the guy that keeps all the fucking memories and shit, and all the emotions and everything. And he's giving them to this kid. And everyone, it's a bit like Aeon Flux as well. It's mixed with that. Like, if you can imagine Equilibrium mixed with Aeon Flux with no excitement, that's the Giver. I swear to God.
That's about right.
It's truly one of the dumbest things I've seen in a while.
Do you think that the potential franchise is going to spring?
I think it's dead at this point. I really don't think that they would. And this didn't make a lot, and I know why.
It outgrossed the Expendables 3, which is a goddamn travesty.
But everything did. I think the interview just outgrossed Expendables 3. So.
Oh, man. I think Avenging Force just outgrossed Expendables 3. Okay. You saw Wish I Was Here. I wanted to catch up with this one. What did you think? The Zach Braff kind of semi-sequel?
Zach Braff's, semi-sequel is a good way to put it. This is actually very – I know we're not a fan of Garden State. I really want you to watch this because it is vastly grown up as compared to Garden State, even though it's still – Zach Braff, who's a childish kind of guy.
I don't mind him though. I like The Last Kiss, even though he didn't write and direct that.
That's a great movie. But but it's more along the lines of that. You know, it's like a grown-up Garden State. And I really enjoyed it. I really liked it a lot. But it's a tearjerker for sure. But a great, great cast. I mean, Zach Braff, obviously Josh Gad plays his brother. You got Ashley Green, got Kate Hudson.
I love Josh Gad. I think he's so underrated.
He's
really
good in this
cat
as well. And Mandy Patinkin plays the father in this.
Oh, wow.
And the whole thing is basically the father's dying and he has to come to terms, you know, with his life as a middle-aged 35-year-old guy who's still trying to pursue his acting career, his dream, but it's, of course, it's going nowhere.
Yeah, that movie might be hitting a little too close to home there, but I think
it's pretty good. I was surprised. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did, but I did. And everyone gives a great performance in it, and the way
is it so fucking precious like Garden State was with this really hip soundtrack and everybody's just so, you know,
it's a step away from that. No, it really isn't. It's more adult than that's what I mean by adult. It's not as self-indulgent as that was, but it has its moments, you know, but they're more because he's a man who has kids at this point, it's really about him trying to deal with his kids as well, while his father's dying, and kind of like, what kind of a father does he want to be? It makes it less, it's less about him turning, you know, internally as Garden State was. I don't know. And there's zany characters, but the zany characters are Josh Gad, so.
Okay, come on. I can handle that kind of zaniness.
I would want you to give it a try, just because I didn't like Garden State so much. I want to know if this was enough. It was enough difference for me that I really liked this. And I didn't hate Garden State. I do actually like it, but I really liked this quite a bit more.
So you're recommending this?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, I will watch this. This is on my.
If you like indie comedies, you know, that's what this is. Independent.
And I do like Brad. I got to clarify there. And I like Portman, so I don't know. Garden State just was not working for me. Oh, speaking of something that didn't work for me, Grudge Match. You just saw Grudge Match?
I did just watch Grudge Match, and you know what? I didn't mind it.
Oh, wow. So you you didn't mind it. That means it played like back on HBO while you were doing
it. That's exactly how I saw it. It was on HBO. That's how I came across this sucker. No, I watched it from beginning to end. I sat there and watched it. And to be honest with you, I thought it was on par with Parental Guidance, which I really didn't have a problem with either.
Oh, okay. I didn't like Parental Guidance, which I wanted to like that movie a lot more. No, that movie just went on and on and on. I thought that movie should have ended three times before it did. Grudge Match, to me, you know, I'm going to rewatch Grudge Match because
I was okay with it.
I own the Blu-ray, which is the Stallone completist. Jesus. So, yeah.
You hated it. I watched it. I hated it. You know what? I never need to see it again. It definitely has no reason to exist, but I'm watching it and I'm thinking, you know, I don't dislike it. I see where he's going with it. I get it, you know, and it's not, I didn't have a problem with it, I guess, is where it's.
I mean, Kevin Hart and Alan Alda are the saving graces. I mean, the only two comedians in a comedy, strangely enough.
Kevin Hart's funny, but.
I don't know. To me, the fight is bizarrely, like, brutal for what it is.
It's really weird because, they both probably
the best part of it is when they're promoting it. I thought it could have used more of that, like, zaniness and kind of, like...
Well, it's too long. Goddamn sure.
But I like that whole sequence, though, like, when they're doing, like, the wacky stuff to promote it and the cameos and things like that. Uh-huh. But to me, it was just so sad to watch Jake LaMotta and Rocky Balboa just turn to this, you know? But we are getting a Rocky 7 in a sense, Creed.
It was okay.
Like you said, it's made for HBO to play while it's raining outside. But for when I saw it in the theater, $7 a bop, you know.
Yeah, that might be a different situation. I had zero expectations, and I thought it was okay.
Which is exactly what you should if you watch Grudge Match.
Parental Guidance, I still think is the perfect. That's the perfect match. If you've seen Parental Guidance and you thought it was okay, watch Grudge Match, you know. If you hated Parental Guidance, you'll probably hate Grudge Match because they're very similar.
That quote should be on the DVD box. If you watched Parental Guidance and you thought it's okay, you'll probably think Grudge Match is okay. Fucking stellar review. Well, let's talk about Tammy, starring Melissa McCarthy, who really just wears on me. I heard somebody today going on and on about how Mike and Molly is the funniest show on television. I didn't even know that was a fucking show.
I was just Mike and Molly. I've never seen it, but it's huge. I just went to go see Big Bang Theory, a taping of the Big Bang Theory.
Right.
And she was there. She was on the Warner Brothers lot. And the interesting thing about that is that maybe 10 years ago, I also was on the Warner Brothers lot, and she was there as well. So I've seen her, but every time I've been on the Warner Brothers lot, which is twice now, I've seen her.
Really?
So if I'm going to be at the Warner Brothers lot, I'm just going to let everyone know this, there's a good chance that Melissa McCarthy will be there as well.
I think Trevor's stalking the big girl. Going after the white buffalo.
Oh, people did mistake her for Rosie O'Donnell, though, so I don't know if that's good or bad.
It's better than getting the stick of Roseanne Barr at this point. So. All right, so Tammy, let's get back to Tammy.
Yeah, so, I loved the first quarter of this movie. It felt like a 90s road trip type movie. The last 75% is complete dog shit. I really didn't like this movie at all.
Does that mean you're giving it one star?
Sure, give it whatever you want.
Really?
By the end of it, it's just, have you seen this?
No, I refuse because I don't find her funny. I really don't find
by
don't
the
find
end
amazing.
Of I well I liked her in this. I liked I liked everyone in it. Susan Sarandon was good, but by the end of it, it turns.
Is it a comedy?
Well, kind of.
Exactly.
It turns from a comedy to a drama, and by the time you get to the end of it, you're just like, I don't, you know, like, I didn't care enough about these people to have feelings for them. Why are you doing this to me? Like,
why are you making this so heavy-handed?
Why are you trying this? But this is a Will Ferrell, you know, his sucky best guy. God, who am I thinking?
Will
Who's
Ferrell's
Will
this?
Ferrell's partner? No, produced. So it feels very much like what is Adam?
Adam McKay.
Adam McKay, thank you. Yeah, it's produced by them, so it does have that those kind of flares in it every once in a while, and that's the comedy. But then it has like a weird drama side to it that I don't know, I really didn't like, and it kind of ruins the whole movie, and it ruins the flow. It has a really weird flow.
I've heard that totally, even from scene to scene, that it's all over the place. All right, let's talk about Let's Be Cops. I saw this summer. You just caught up with this. And I saw it. I gave it kind of an on-the-fence recommendation.
Uh-huh.
But, I felt guilty kind of recommending it.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I watched half of it, and then I stopped.
Yeah. You didn't
because
miss anything.
It is boring as fuck. No, it's great. The first act I thought was great. And then again, it gets serious. I'm like, why is it so serious? Like, are they? They're
I
actually.
Said that too.
No, it's like they're actually cops at one point. I'm like, you guys are basically cops at this point. This is like, why not? You have to make up your mind if you're gonna be a comedy or if you're gonna be like some kind of a dark action type movie. But you can't, like, you know, you can't do the dark action movie with a
the
smile.
Russian gangster
it's ridiculous.
Was way too heavy-handed for
oh
this
my
movie.
God.
Was it not?
Yes.
I thought so too.
I thought this would be great. If you want to do this seriously and have some dude just go ape shit and be like, yeah, I'm a fucking cop now. Like, I'm down for that action movie. But don't start me off with a comedy. And by the way, Damon Wayans Jr. the whole time is like, we can't do this. Oh my God. Okay, let's do it. We can't do this. What do you? Okay, let's do it. If within, you know, several weeks of doing, by the time he Googles, you know, what happens if you pretend to be a cop? You know, what are the sentences? Like, fucking, you go to jail forever, you get fined, all that shit. Who doesn't know that already, number one? Number two, who Googles that after they already have a car? They've, like, established themselves in the fucking neighborhood practically as cops. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with this movie?
Well,
I didn't like
thought,
it. I stopped
I
watching
the movie,
it.
There is a sequence when Damon Wayans does some drugs and he's undercover. That's pretty redeeming in itself, but for the most part, I thought, you know, the whole subplot, I thought the guy was doing a Vince Vaughn type thing of the overgrown adolescence when he couldn't let the sports thing go and he was the jock in high school, which was hard to believe anyways. And then, you know, he can't let it go. Because
he's so small, I know.
It was just in general. And I thought, you know, it honestly reminded me a lot of the Zohan movie with the girl in the neighborhood and, you know, and not knowing in the girls.
I guess. But the big difference there is that Zohan knew it was a comedy.
Yeah, this was a confused movie. But at the same time, very successful confused movie. I mean, it did gangbusters this year at the box office, and I didn't see it as that. I thought the best parts of the movie
failed,
were first were becoming cops, and they
it
were
failed
kind
of
using
to really,
the power.
It failed to really break out, and I think, you know, the reason why is that it was too serious.
And once again,
had it
long.
Been more of a comedy, yeah, and way too long, because I quit halfway through it just thinking, like, you know, like, I know how this is going to end. I know what's going to happen, and I have no want to see it because it's not funny.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater, and it was pretty long and miserable experience. This year really was not the year of the comedy. I mean, looking back over it, this blended Million Ways to Die in the West, really, outside of 22 Jump Street, I couldn't recommend one comedy this year to anybody. And that is the comedy I recommend this year, by the way.
Expendables 3 I thought was pretty funny. Just put that out there. Put a smile on my face.
You also like Grudge Match. Which one of us is the Stallone fan here? I mean, Jesus. Just stick it up, my boy. All right, so we got through our mammoth review session there. And really, I think the ones that we are recommending here, if I'm not mistaken, Trevor says, Wish I Was Here is worth a view. I say check out Top 5. We both agree on The Expendables and 22 Jump Street. And Trevor also says, If I Stay is worth a view. If you have not gotten the reviews for these, you can go to MovieMavericks.com and check out the reviews for most of the things we've talked about on today's show. Are we taking a break and come back with Trailer Addict? What do you want to do? You want to jump into it? You want to take a break?
Yes, that's well, we got to play the thing, so we'll take a break for the captain.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Captain. Oh, Captain. So you picked out all the trailers for today. Of course, I had these big trailers. I seen some of them. Some of them I hadn't seen. One I hadn't even heard of, which I fell in love with. So,
yeah, I did. I think let's go through the same one. All right, let's talk about Get Hard right off the top here.
I'm always hard off the top.
Yeah, I know. Oh, Edger, and this is really a remake of Big Stan, the Rob Schneider film from a couple
interesting
of years ago, right?
I completely forgot about Big Stan, but you're right. That's what this is.
Me and Rob Schneider. We're somewhere out there. Rob Schneider. Wow. Yes.
Someone remembered.
See? Wow. See?
Yeah, you're right.
Will Ferrell's, white-collar criminal going to jail, has to get tough, so he hires the nearest black guy he knows, which is Kevin Hart, who is a car washing guy in his building, and to train him how to handle jail. Really, this is a weak trailer on a weak premise, and I didn't find anything amusing about this trailer.
Oh, I thought Kevin Hart was funny, but that's just because he's Kevin Hart, and I think he's funny.
Yeah,
and that's really it. That's really all I'm going to say.
I didn't, but even that's getting old now. His being short, his being a pussy, it's getting kind of like, like let's
maybe I still get the chuckle. You know, I still find him funny. He's a natural comedian.
You think this trailer is amusing, and I think that the wedding pact or whatever that one he's got coming out, the wedding guest.
Oh, right.
Out with Josh Gad.
Yeah.
In January here. You didn't like that trailer at all, and I thought that trailer is more amusing than this trailer. Yeah.
Well, I thought he was – well, he really doesn't have a lot to do in that other one. I don't know. The trailer looks fine for me. I think that – as with most of these Will Ferrell movies, it's going to get old quick. You know, I don't know. I get that it's a higher level just for having his involvement, you know, than most movies. And it's true. It's weird. But that almost kind of sucks the life out of the comedy in a way.
Yeah, it's a
like
lot
it's going to be too real, you know, even when it shouldn't be. And then it gets too out of control and it's all over the place. And that's really where this trailer is, right? It goes from a simple beginning to just outlandishly insane. It just, you're just like, how the fuck did we get here?
Yeah.
It's almost too much of a voyage. Yeah.
I did not care for this trailer at all. Like I said, I didn't find anything amusing about this trailer. I'm watching it. And even
I still like
Revelation. So do I. And I like Will Ferrell, but I didn't think this trailer was funny at all.
I'll agree with you. I think that this is probably not going to be a super earner at the box office.
That's minor.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Wild Card. This is a remake, Jason Statham film, written by William Goldman, directed by Simon West, but this is actually a remake of a 1987 Burt Reynolds film called Heat. And it's not the Heat with Al Pacino or De Niro, but an older one.
No. Older? Ooh,
sorry. But I actually like this Burt Reynolds film. This is was supposed to be Burt Reynolds' comeback movie back in the 80s. And he punched out the director. It was going to be directed by Robert Altman, but he left the project and they got some shit director on it. Reynolds punched him out, ended up costing him a couple hundred thousand and reparations and whatnot. But now, all these years later, we get a remake starring Statham and Sofia Vergara and a couple other people that are really of no value. And this is Stanley Tucci. I like Stanley Tucci. But this looks so generic to me. This looks like run-of-the-mill Statham. I know the story, and the story is fairly convoluted because it was a novel, and I've seen the original. Mm-hmm. But even here, having known the story, it's just hard to follow. What the fuck is happening here? What'd you think?
I loved it.
Did you really?
Loved it. I really want to see this movie. I thought this looks great.
Have you seen the original?
I have not. But I do really want to see this. I mean, it doesn't – like I'm not even – I won't even compare it to the original anyhow, even if you saw it. That would be from a long-lost time, you know?
I just want to know if you knew the whole shtick.
I'm surprised. You really liked Simon. You liked the mechanic.
I love the mechanic.
And obviously, Simon West. Well, he hasn't done much, but he's done Con Air. and the mechanic, which you really liked, and I'm surprised.
And the General's Daughter, which I liked.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I know we're getting crazy now.
Yeah, and Laura Croft. Anyhow.
Wow, sitting sharks.
Jesus. Yeah, let's not go down this out. Anyhow, I really did like this trailer. I thought it was I just liked it. I thought it was great. What was wrong with it? What did you find incorrect in this?
It's nothing incorrect. I mean, the beginning parts.
I love the trailer. Oh, but even when it goes into the serious mode after that, and it's I loved it.
I mean, I hope it's a better movie than the trailer. Okay,
I think the trailer's great. I hope it's exactly what the trailer is.
I mean, I could have used some more Sofia Vergara. Is all I'm saying.
Oh, I hate her.
What? Yay?
Yeah, seriously.
Sofia Vergara.
I can't do it.
That's my girl.
I mean, nothing against her.
I can and I will.
All the power to her. Yeah, the sucky best that she is. Wonderful.
Yes, she is. She is a books and best little lady.
Yeah, well, she does her thing. I can't. I can't do it with the voice. It's too much.
Oh, it's fine with me. It's no Fran Drescher. It's no Fran Drescher.
No, it's not. But
all right, let's talk about San Andreas. This is really a teaser trailer of the Brad Peyton directed film that is coming. I'm sorry, it's Peyton Reed. And it's coming out next summer. This is starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I have one problem with this. You know, they're releasing these trailers so early now. You know, they released the Terminator trailer early, and people talked about how the special effects look so bad, and they probably weren't the final renders and this and that. But I've got a real problem with releasing, like, San Andreas. They released this trailer, obviously, so early because they forgot, or they didn't forget, but they didn't have time to put the robots in. For all the destruction, right? There's just things are just blowing up, but there's no robots blowing them up, and they even have the sound effects, like the, you know, and all that stuff. I don't know.
I mean, I was just waiting for the title card that said "From the Man That Brought You 2012 Independence Day." I mean,
this looks
Roland Emmerich
so
territory?
Fucking stupid. I can't explain it. This is just horrible. I don't even know.
And I live on the San Andreas Fault, literally. So I am not exactly stoked about seeing a movie about the San Andreas Fault going.
Why? Well, why play? It's literally a Transformers trailer, complete with sound cues and everything. It's ridiculous. I just can't. Yeah, it's like, why? What the fuck are you doing? Who are you kidding?
It just looks like looks like Volcano. Do you recall that? The Tommy Lee Jones
one? It looks like all those.
Yeah. It just, this is, the less said with about that, this, the better. I think this is going to take.
What do we have?
Like
we just had the tornado movie, right? That storm movie. Now we got this. Yeah. Why are we going through this cycle again? No one liked that shit before. They don't like it now. You know, there was one goddamn asteroid movie that made a shitload of money. One. It's one of these things.
Well,
that
there was two,
it.
Actually. Deep Impact made a good money, too, but.
Oh, please.
I get what you're saying.
I think that's because people thought they were going to go see the other one.
Right? That's what happened. I'm pretty sure Knock Off only made money because people thought they were seeing Rush Hour. Just saying. That's a weird reference. I know, but it's true. I was there. All right, let's move on and talk about Mad Max Fury Road, which has now got we talked about the teaser trailer a while back. We both loved that. This is now a full-length trailer. Really a lot more of the same, but a lot of good shit in this trailer. I like
How?
This trailer a whole lot.
Okay, yeah, so we've read a lot. So they've been making this movie for fucking ever, right?
Forever.
Yeah, you know, Charlize Theron has no hair. You know, all the shit's coming out, and you don't really see much about this movie or anything. And then they drop that first teaser, and you're just like, holy shit. And then they drop this movie, and you're just like, where the fuck did this movie come from? This
right?
thing is like fucking, I don't know what this is, man, but there are fucking, there's like Gore Verbinski moments in this where you're just like, is this Lone Ranger? Is this fucking, is that Jack Sparrow going across on this? What is, this thing is magnificent. I can't wait to see this fucking movie.
There's a shot in here with Tom Hardy when he kind of looks back quizzically while he's driving, and it's such a small moment, but I was like, yes, that's a Mad Max moment. That's like, that's what Gibson would have done in that situation. Like, kind of like noting the absurdity of what's going on, but like being in the midst of it. You know, it's hard to explain, but it's like, it's a perfect moment that's in this trailer, and I love that, like, this movie has come, like you said, almost out of nowhere. There hasn't been a whole lot of pre-production hoopla surrounding every fucking step of it like we have with Star Wars or the Avengers. Avengers or whatever.
And it's so and it artistic.
Like this has like a nice. Oh my God, the machinery itself is unbelievable. The way that this is cut together with the music cues and like it's so it looks just original, which is hard to say about mm-hmm. it's the fourth one in the series, but it looks like it's especially after watching this.
Well,
San
you
Andreas
do you
trailer.
Expect. I don't know. I mean, I don't even. This isn't even a trailer yet. I mean, we really still don't have a trailer. This is like another teaser trailer.
Yeah, just set to like operatic.
I just can't wait. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
think
really
this
can.
Is
this is gonna be
really
great.
Shaping up to be so maybe the surprise hit of next year. I really think this is that one moment in the trailer. I'm telling you, when he looks back, it was a yes moment for me. Like I am on fucking mm-hmm. board here.
And to be fair, I don't think there's a frame in this trailer or in the teaser trailer that isn't just the most cinematic damn thing I've seen in the past decade.
You could frame it. It's you know, you literally could take a frame from any one of these pictures and blow it up and put it in a frame. It's gorgeous, gorgeous to look at. All right, let's talk about While We're Young, the new film from Noah Baumbach, starring Ben Stiller. You really like Greenberg when they teamed up on that.
Mm-hmm.
This is another kind of a lost in midlife movie, mm-hmm. and it's about a couple in their late 40s who happen upon a couple in their early 20s or mid 20s and. Kind of become infatuated with their lifestyle and become quick friends. And the trailer doesn't go into a whole lot of detail on the specifics of what happens with relationships for the better, I think. But I think this is a kind of a strong trailer. And I like when Stiller mm-hmm. does this mode. And I really like Noah Baumbach's writing. I think The Squid and the Whale is a very strong film. It gets overlooked. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to seeing this, actually.
Yeah, I think this looks great as well.
I'm glad you said
there are several moments. I love the my favorite part of this is when Naomi Watts says, you know, they've decorated their apartment with all the shit that we've thrown out.
thrown
and somehow
out. I know.
It
yeah,
looks great. And look at it and like, you know what? It's like that old, yeah, they're popping in VHS tapes. You're like, yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah,
it's like, it is that shit that you've thrown
That's
out.
That's my
that
favorite
now,
line too. Yeah.
Yeah. In my mid 30s, I'm like, God, why did I ever throw that out? You know, I should have kept that shit.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there's a lot of insightful things in the writing here. And I like Charles Grodin coming out of nowhere
yes.
as the father. You know, it was nice to see him. And Baumbach's writing is very it's almost harsh in a sense where it's very self-examining and he's very hard on his character. So I'm curious to see what complications arise with this relationship that is
well, I'm sure there are many.
Oh, yes.
But yes, I'm ready. I like it. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, I'm glad. We're right on that one. I saw that trailer recently in a theater, and I said mm-hmm. that I liked it, and somebody kind of looked at me and said, really, what you want to see that? And I saw the trailer when I saw
That's
Top
what they
5,
seen
so it's kind of
the
same vein. Yeah.
Someone said, we had a comment on the site, I think with Vern commented on.
Didn't care for it, yeah.
No, he said that you know there hasn't been a good Ben Stiller movie since, good Lord. The Vietnam one.
You're talking about
Bad Day.
Tropic Thunder.
Thank you. Yeah, since Tropic Thunder. And I immediately said, no, Greenberg. You know, a lot of people haven't seen Greenberg. I recommend it highly, you know, especially if you like independent movies. You know, it's I thought it was a great film.
There, even in this trailer, there was a moment when I thought of Greenberg when he gets hit in the head with the ball and he's like, what, you know, what's going on, man? The guy, I love you. Like, oh, okay. And he kind of like waves at him a certain way. I thought that's Greenberg-esque right there.
Yeah.
Like the way he kind of underplayed that and whatnot. So, but I think Stiller's strong when I really like the Secret Life of Walter Mitty as the Jew.
Me too.
Which I think what Vern was commenting
on. That was
on
the movie I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Insurgent trailer. And I still haven't seen Divergent, although it recently went on HBO.
Neither have I. It's on HBO, though. Yes, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I'll watch the fucking thing now. I'm going to watch it like you watch Grudge Match.
But aren't you confused as to what that fucking movie is about? Now, I'm even more confused about what Insurgent is about, the sequel. It's like...
You know what it's about? It's about 90
Minutes. I don't
get it. It's a girl who looks like a wannabe Jennifer Lawrence running around, and a movie looks like a wannabe Total Recall. What is going on?
I don't get these movies. I don't understand the first one. I don't understand this one. What is the point of this? They're like, they have no fear. It's like, okay, but you have... There's soldiers in this who are fighting. So you have trained soldiers. I don't understand where the issue is. Like, they don't have fear. Oh, okay. What does that do? Yeah. What does that do for you? What does you have a society that appears to be the exact equal of the society I have here, right? They choose people based on what fears they have to go into certain things. And if you have no fear, then you're like, holy shit, this person's going to fucking change the world. I don't get it. I don't get it. I just don't understand it.
You brought up Equilibrium earlier. I want to bring up Ultraviolet, that Mila Jovovich film. Because that's what this looks like. Ultraviolet. I like you would. But this is what it looks like.
Ultraviolet is horrendous. Horrendous.
I tried to watch 10 minutes of that twice. I can't get past the first 10 minutes.
I'll tell you what. The special effect, like for the home viewing, you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. Watching that movie on the big screen was... I don't know. It was like watching. It would be like watching, Avenging Force on the big screen nowadays. It was just
vacant.
You just don't know how it got there. You're like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Special effects are horrible. Yeah, but regardless,
I like
bad the
movie. Things in the big screen, so I understand. But Insurgent, this trailer lost me obviously because I'm not a fan of the first one. But I'm gonna give the first one a shot. But I really do not like this lead actress. I really don't care.
I like her.
I really do not. Oh my goodness, really.
Yeah.
All right, I'll watch it.
Well, I gotta watch the first one. I gotta watch this anyway, since I don't understand it.
I want to know what's going on.
So just to know, what the fuck the point of this is. I'm prepared to watch.
I will say the special effects look pretty outstanding with the house falling and
they do, but it doesn't really.
Thing they got going on.
I mean, why are they going into her head? Why do they want to get? What do they want from her? I don't understand it.
Why have you come?
It's like, just do your fucking thing. Like, what's the problem? Like, don't, all you gotta do is kill her and then just do your thing. Like, just go on living your life. You know, you got control. Just don't worry about it. Leo's dead. Oh, it's very sad, I know, but you can get over that. You've survived.
The heart will go on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Inside Out.
That's Inside Out. I loved this trailer. The new Pixar film. I really thought this trailer
new
was
Pixar
clever.
Pixar movie. Yeah, but can it? What's the movie about?
It's Herman's Head. Remember that TV show? It's like that. It's all over again. I don't know what the movie's going to be about ultimately, but this trailer is a short film.
Yeah,
itself,
as a short film. Thought, yeah,
it
does work.
It works as a short film. It just shows like how clever the Pixar people are. I mean, even their trailers are mini stories, and I'm sure this will be part of the movie, but I mean, great sequence to display your movie and kind of, you know, the emotion.
It gives
picture.
You the whole idea
it's
of what
clever.
Of what you're going to get. Yeah. I just don't know what you get no sense of what the actual story is about. You get the idea.
What the complication.
You get the gimmick. Yeah. But I don't, I'm confused again.
I like the gimmick, though. That's what I've seen so far.
Yeah, it's cute. Looks nice. They're going to be able to play on stereotypes, which works, especially for comedy.
Yeah, especially like this with the family comedies.
And male and female and stuff, yeah.
All right, let's talk about a true story. This is the trailer that I thought you were going to say you hadn't seen and you thought was excellent because I had never heard of this, and I think this trailer
I haven't seen this trailer before, but I had heard of this.
I had never heard of this story. This is based on a true story of a New York Times reporter who is covering the case of a convicted criminal who's on the death row, it looks like. But the guy said he murdered the people, his victims, but he claimed to be the reporter or some sort of weird cross-germination like that. But
well, this guy wrote a story for New York Times, right, which was about a black kid who was a slave or something. I don't remember exactly what the story was. All true. True that he wrote the story, but the story was fabricated. It was fake. And they ran it, and he got into trouble. They got into trouble, and they fired him. And then later on, this happened. As you said, this guy killed his wife and kids and was on the run, saying that he was this reporter. And so it's weird. One of those true stories is just so out there. It's a shame not to make it into a movie, isn't it?
I think that this trailer, though, it looks really nice. And it's good to see these two guys pulling off the serious thing and it not coming off as like a high school stage production.
Yeah, and right, yeah.
It really works here. I thought like both of these characters feel like they have weight to them, too. You know?
Well, there's definitely moments that you know this is a movie. I think one thing that I would never have included in this would have been the Franco call to the girlfriend.
To the girlfriend. I thought that
was
really
too much.
Too.
Way over the top.
Yeah.
I
want to be
friends,
too.
It doesn't belong in this,
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that was the one point in this too where I thought that just felt like inauthentic for everything else that had come in this preview so far of what we had seen of these people. But it's nice when you see that title card of Oscar nominee Jonah Hill, Oscar nominee James Franco, and And you realize that these guys really are strong actors in what they're doing, and both it look like they're well cast in these roles. I really liked this trailer, if not loved this trailer, and desperately want to see this movie. I don't know why I've never heard about it till now. It almost looks like something like Adam Ogoyan, who we talked about recently.
It's true, yeah, it does. And the Captain have that same feeling. Like this. It's a very indie, kind of a hard-boiled detective story, almost in a way.
Yeah, but just a great, like you said, great story to turn into a movie. I mean, just good idea to, to turn this in.
And I don't know how it ends.
Well, neither do I.
I mean, I don't know how the movie ends. Yeah.
We'll be watching this movie, apparently.
What do they do? I don't know.
Well, Trevor says the best trailer on here is Wild Card, the Jason Statham film.
I love that trailer.
And I love the True Story trailer, but we both agree the Mad Max trailer is fantastic. While We're Young trailer is fantastic. And honestly, outside of San Andreas and Get Hard, I think we had an Insurgent, obviously. We had a pretty good trailer run here.
Insurgent's not a bad trailer. I just don't get it.
I can't, but I don't get Mad Max and I want to get it. You know what I mean? I don't know.
No, I do get Mad Max though, because it's just, it's mad. They're like, it's mad and his name's Max and Fury Road and things are exploding.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I can't wait.
I tell you, that doesn't put a goofy grin on your face. You're like, this is what movies used to do. You know, this is just, it's just like, it's that kind of awe inspiring, like, how they pull that shit.
Well, I imagine we'll get, as the trailers. Like I said, this is more of a, it's kind of a longer teaser trailer, really. I imagine they'll give a little bit more to the actual story later on. But there might not be, there's really no story to a Mad Max movie, right? To any of them, you know?
Yeah, that's why they had those elongated chase scenes.
He's just Mad Max, yeah. If you know who he is, and you know what the happening is going to be, you know?
How do you play this one? Well, you play it mad. That's how, you're angry, son.
He's going to, you know, he's going to do some shit, yeah.
Hmm. We did some shit today. We had 11 movies, 8 reviews, 5 news items, 3 box office predictions, and a partridge in a pear tree. And that's going to wrap up episode 258, the Christmas episode, even though we talked nothing about Christmas on today's episode. We'll be back with you next week with our wrap-up, look back at the year 2014, and our picks for the best and worst films of the year. Until then, speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to moviemavericks.com, warp 9. Engage!
Suck your best.